This morning there are three texts that I should like to leave with you. Genesis chapter 47, first of all, the verse 2, he took some of his brethren, even five men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And then the verse 7, particularly the first part of the verse, and Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh. And along with that, I would want to draw your attention to Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, where we read this morning, and the last verse, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." My subject this morning is Joseph not ashamed. Joseph is not ashamed. Genesis 47 is the chapter of two important meetings with Pharaoh. The meetings are described verse 1 down to verse 10. There may in actual fact be only one meeting, but there are different stages during it. But in these meetings, Joseph brings in his brethren and his father. First of all, he brings in some of his brethren, five brothers in fact. He brings them in to meet Pharaoh. And then later on, he brings in his father Jacob. And the high point of the passage, verses 1 to 10, the high point of the passage is the old man Jacob and Pharaoh face to face and having this conversation. And that meeting is described in verses 7 through to 10. It begins on the same note, Jacob bless Pharaoh, and it ends with the same note, Jacob bless Pharaoh, and went out from before Pharaoh. And that meeting is very important and most interesting. But it is not what takes place in the meetings that is of concern to us this morning. But what I want to draw your attention to this morning is the introduction to each of these meetings. The remarkable thing that takes place in these meetings are the presentations, and that's what I want to speak about. The first presentation is in verse 2. He presented his brethren unto Pharaoh. And then the next presentation is in verse 7. Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh. And if I especially focus on verse 7, that presentation, but keeping in mind that the brethren also were presented as well earlier on. Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh. Those words must not be overlooked, brethren and sisters, because they tell us what Joseph did. And I remind you that these studies in the main have been focusing on the life of Joseph. I know we have diverged once to look at Jacob meeting God, but generally we've been focusing on the life of Joseph. And that's what we're doing this morning. It's actually Joseph who's bringing in his brethren. It's Joseph who's bringing in his father. And I think there's something there we have to pause at and think about. Now, one of the meetings here, particularly the old man Jacob and the young Pharaoh, we believe he is young, that would make a great painting. That's a scene you really would like to be able to capture, to see, to visit, to behold. But the old man is probably frail. He's certainly very old. He's 130 years of age. He probably needs aid to be brought in. That's why there's this emphasis. He brought him in and he set him before Pharaoh. So it may well have been that he might have had to be carried in. And there must have been great silence as this old man, full of years, was brought in before Pharaoh. And then the conversation begins. But that bringing in of Pharaoh, or the bringing in of Jacob before Pharaoh, it tells us something about Joseph. And in my mind, what really stands out here is that Joseph is not ashamed of his old, humble father. He's not ashamed of him. And that's my theme this morning. Joseph, not ashamed. And when he brought his brethren in also, evidently he's not ashamed of them either. When he presents them, physically sets them and presents them before Pharaoh and says, "These are my brothers." And he brings in the old man. And he's not one bit embarrassed. He says, "This is my father. This is my father." And so this morning, we could say Joseph is not ashamed. In fact, he's delighted to do it. I would even dare to say unto you, when he brings his father in, he's radiant. He's joyful. The Bible talks about them that looked unto God and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. And I think Joseph's like that this morning. He's radiant. He's not ashamed. I know it doesn't say that in the text, but I think it is there by implication. Not only is he caring and reverent and respectful and helpful as he brings his old father in, he certainly is not one bit embarrassed by the matter. And so two verbs of action show that he's not ashamed. He brought him in and he set him before Pharaoh. The Holy Spirit is painting it. Now, I know you would maybe ordinarily just read over that verse and not pause, but you mustn't treat the Word of God like that, especially when you're meditating on a small section. Every word is to be noted, especially the verbs. There's action there, and you have to see the action and pause and understand what the Holy Spirit is telling you. And so he's bringing in the old man and setting him before the king. And it tells me anyway this morning, and that's what I want to tell you today, he's not ashamed of him. Jacob isn't quietly ushered off into some corner to some location well out of the way from the great King Pharaoh. Joseph hasn't got that kind of attitude. He could have easily come up with some excuses. "Oh, he's an old man. He can't appear here today. I can't bring him in." Or, "He's been on a long journey." He could have come up with excuses if he didn't want to show his old father to the king. But no. Evidently, there is not a molecule of shame or embarrassment. Not ashamed of his wrinkles. Not ashamed of his humble origins. Not ashamed of his country accent or his background. Not ashamed of his humble dress and demeanor. In contrast to Pharaoh and all those mighty ones in the court. And Joseph would know what royalty is prone to, how royalty is prone to despise the lowly and to despise the aged and the humble. And Joseph knows all of that. But he still brings the old 130-year-old cripple in. Even though those in the court might look down on him. For many a man who has made it in life and gained high position, the last thing in this world that he might want to desire to do would to be bring in his humble parents. But not so Joseph. Now, I could moralize here and speak of the biblical duty of not being ashamed of your parents. And that is a biblical duty. And indeed, there is a time and place. This is the time and place to say about that morality and our duty to the fifth commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother. And part of that duty is not being ashamed of them, not feeling embarrassed by them. Joseph is a good son, and he truly honors his father, and he reverences him as well. And he trusts that he'll do right. And he, in the narrative, you read that he advises his brothers what to say, but he never advises his father what to say. He trusts his father. He knows he can bring his father in. He's not going to be ashamed of him. He knows he'll talk about the Lord. He's not going to be ashamed of him. And so he just leaves his father as the old patriarch over the family to act and behave as he pleases in Pharaoh's hall. And so you must never dishonor your parents by ever being ashamed of them. The fifth commandment's clear on that. And remember too, Joseph is a married man with his own sons. But moralizing is not what I want to emphasize this morning. I'm not talking about the duty of sons and daughters. That's not my theme, although it is latent in the text. There is something I feel vastly more important than that. And that for us is our subject today. I want to speak to you as Christians. I want to focus on ashamedness in relation to our profession of Jesus Christ, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I want to think about ashamedness in relation to him from various aspects and angles. What does the Bible say about our heavenly Joseph? Well, I tell you what the Bible says about our heavenly Joseph. He's not ashamed of us either. Just as Joseph is not ashamed of his brethren, and just as he's not ashamed of his father, he's not ashamed of the family. So our Lord Jesus Christ, as our elder brother, and as the head of our family, the family of God, he is not ashamed of us. And we are poor, and we are mean and humble. We're spiritually poor, that's for sure. We're poor and needy. Spiritually, we're helpless. We're limping and lame. And we're full of wrinkles too. The wrinkles that sin has caused. Weak and wounded, sore and weary. That's what we are. But the Bible says he's not ashamed to call us his brethren. He brings his people into the throne room of his heavenly Father. Our elder brother is not ashamed to present us before God. It says Joseph presented his brethren before Pharaoh. There's a picture there of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says there that he brought Jacob, his father, in and set him before the king. There's a picture there of our Lord Jesus Christ with us. Because our Lord Jesus Christ sets us before his father. He sets us before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He brings us in and he sets us and he presents us before his God and his Father. That's our Christ. He's not ashamed of us then if he does that. Literally, he carries his people. And this verb brought in can sometimes be translated carried. It's in the intensive. He was brought in. And sometimes it has been translated carried. And it may well have been that he was carried in and set. And they could see how old he was. Couldn't even walk in. But he was still presented. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ does with us. Is not John 17 not all about that? When he lifts up his eyes before his Father, what is he doing? He's presenting his people before him. Not only in prayer. He does it in prayer in John 17. He does it now in intercession at the right hand of God. He's our advocate. He brings us before the Father. Literally. He bears us in his heart. Our names are engraved on his hand. They're written on his shoulders. And literally he bears our names and presents them before the Father. And he's not ashamed to do it. Though we've caused him shame, and though like those five brethren, we've been every bit as naughty as them at times, and yet he's not ashamed to do it. And so the church is getting old. Like Jacob, the church is getting full. And yet spiritual Jacob, the Lord Jesus is still prepared to present it before God. And so the heavenly Joseph is pictured in this, in his intercession. But not only is there the presentation of our heavenly Joseph in the intercession, there also will come a day when he will literally do this, when it shall be fulfilled. And the time has ended, and the church has been completed, and it has become old and full like Jacob himself, full of days and full of all its members, that the heavenly Joseph will literally bring in the church, the old church, and he'll set it before his Father. The Apostle Paul calls that the presentation. Now, the verb that he uses is this verb, to present. And so the verb is taken up by the Apostle in the New Testament. And he says such things as, you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. This is what he's done. He's died. He's died on the cross. He's reconciled his people to God to present them to himself. He's going to do that. There's going to be the presentation. And he's not going to be ashamed either to do it. Despite all their sins and failures. And then in Ephesians 5, verse 27, he talks again about that he may present it. He's talking about the church. That he may present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Won't that be a great day? To stand in that crowd and the Lord Jesus actually present us with all the radiance of his face and all the delight of his heart without one bit of embarrassment to present us to God. In Jude 1, verse 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, but not only so, able also to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now you'll notice in all of these verses where the verb present occurs and the presentation is referred to, it's always a presentation to himself. Because he is God as well as man. He is the glorious King of kings and Lord of lords, and he obtained his bride because only he could. And he obtained her to present him to himself. And he's not ashamed of her. He's not embarrassed by her. Despite her many failures. It is interesting that after these presentations by Joseph, that we read in verse 11, Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession. in the land of Egypt. Do you notice the order? The presentation, then the placing in the land, and then the possession of the inheritance. And that's the way it is with our heavenly Joseph. He is laboring to present us to the Father at the last day, and then we shall be placed in our heavenly inheritance, and we shall enjoy forever with that Joseph our heavenly possession. So the three words that are important in the chapter are present, place, and possession. And they occur in that order. And that's remarkable. So these meetings have come about because of an unashamed son and because of an unashamed brother. And as I said, the brethren, Joseph could justly be ashamed of them because they were rascals at one time, but they are forgiven and been reconciled. And he's not ashamed of them. But yet it has to be said of the old man, Jacob, that he was such a father that a good son could not be ashamed of him. There have been good children who have been ashamed by their father's evil actions. That is true. But there's nothing of that in Jacob. Not at all. It is true he is a worthy father, even a godly father. And that's something else that sons might be ashamed of, isn't it? Some are not ashamed of their father's sins, but they would be ashamed if he was converted and should carry on the godly duties of religion. But then there are some sons who might be ashamed of their father then, who took up godliness, such as the perversion of the human heart. They would be utterly ashamed perhaps then of their father's or mother's pious lifestyle and their praying and their talking about the Lord. Joseph knows what his father will do. He knows as soon as his dad gets in there, he'll be blessing Pharaoh and he'll be talking to him about the Lord. But he's not all cringing up and embarrassed and afraid to bring his dad into that situation. No. He's not ashamed. He doesn't say, oh, my father, he'll get to talk about the Lord. Therefore, I better keep him at home. He'll start blessing the king. And he'll be an embarrassment in the court when he starts talking about Jehovah. In actual fact, not only is he not ashamed of his father's person, he's not ashamed of his father's words either. The Lord Jesus was not ashamed of us, as I say. He wasn't ashamed of us when he died for us, though he despised the shame, but it wasn't the ashamedness of us. It was the ashamedness of our sins that he bore and took to himself. It was the ashamedness of the humiliation of the cross, which is a humiliation in so many ways. Not ashamed of us, as I said, when he pleads for us, and he's not ashamed for us when he does advocacy for us, and he's not ashamed of us whenever he will present us in that great day. But let's look at it from another angle. He's not ashamed of us. But maybe we might be tempted to be ashamed of him. Isn't that where our other text comes in Mark chapter 8? Joseph, as I said, could never be ashamed of his father. How then could Christians ever be ashamed of their Savior? Joseph is not ashamed of his brethren, and our heavenly Joseph is not ashamed of us. How then could we be ashamed of him? And yet in Mark chapter 8, verse 38, the Lord says, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Here's a whosoever you never hear much about. Aren't we grand in preaching the gospel and the whosoever? Don't we make so much of that? And yet the Lord didn't only use it in a gospel context. He uses it in other contexts as well. And here is that whosoever, that any man, that anyone, whoever, whosoever he be, whatsoever he professes, the whosoever will be ashamed. The whosoever who won't bring Christ and set him before someone who may be represented by or even like Pharaoh. And so our text is not exhausted when it comes to just talk about the presentation that Christ makes. We have to think of our presentation of him. Our bringing of him. Our setting of him before others. And as Joseph is not ashamed of the person of Jacob, neither ashamed of the words of Jacob, the Lord Jesus says, "Whosoever be shall be ashamed of me and of my words." And so there is that which corresponds to Pharaoh in the text in Mark chapter 8, verse 38. You say, what is that? The adulterous and sinful generation. Pharaoh represents the world. Pharaoh represents all that is opposite to true religion. Pharaoh represents the idolatry and the philosophy and the superstition and all the false, feeble attempts to cover up death and to beautify it. And all that is ungodly and contrary to the law of God. We do not have a Pharaoh. We have many Pharaohs. We have an adulterous and sinful generation in which we live. A generation of abounding immorality. A generation of, yet while political correctness on one hand, yet no concerns for the authority of God on the other. Or no concerns for reverencing him or his words. A world that accepts everything except God. A world that will take on board all and yet reject the truth and righteousness. A world that has no true moral values. Certainly no place for the Bible. And no place for Jesus Christ. And less place for his words. And the danger is that we who profess him could be tempted to be ashamed of him. Ashamed of his person. Ashamed to mention his name. Ashamed to bring it into the conversation and set it before the people that we are talking to. Ashamed to bring in our elder brother. To bring in our Lord. Ashamed to say, "This is my Lord. This is my Savior. Joseph could say, this is my father. These are my brothers. Can we say, he is my Lord? He is my Redeemer. I love him. I follow him. Can we say it and not be embarrassed? Can we say it and not blush to speak his name? Joseph is not one bit embarrassed when his father's words come out. He doesn't sink his head and go, oh, here we go again. And that's the way the Christian should be with Christ. And it's also the way a Christian should be with a brother or sister in whose presence he is, and they speak about Christ. We shouldn't be fuming and raging just because we couldn't do it and they can do it. And we shouldn't get embarrassed and want to run away and flee from the whole situation just because we're with someone who's not ashamed to talk about the Lord and to say what's right. Just as we shouldn't be ashamed of the Lord, neither should we be ashamed of our brother or sister who talks about the Lord. We cannot leave the sermon without thinking of the end of Mark chapter 8, verse 38. The possibility of the Lord being ashamed of us. He's going to present his bride. He's not going to be embarrassed by her. He's going to present her spotless and wrinkled. And yet there's a possibility here, the distinct possibility, that there are those who he's going to be ashamed of. Because he's coming back again. And the text says he's coming in the glory of his fathers. He's coming with all the majesty of his angels, coming to end this world and coming to wind it all up, this adulterous and sinful generation. And there are going to be those he is going to be ashamed of. And they are clearly identified in the text. The very ones who were ashamed of him and his word. Brothers and sisters, I know it's hard to stand up for God in this adulterous and sinful generation. It's hard. It was hard to bring in a crippled old man before the princely court of this young king. But he did it. And he wasn't embarrassed to do it. It wasn't hard as far as his feelings were concerned, but it was hard for all the abuse that he's maybe going to have to suffer and all the talking behind his back. And so Jesus is coming back again. But there are those who aren't going to be brought in. And with the radiant face of Jesus Christ, they're not going to be set before him. No setting them at his right hand. No saying to the world, these are my sheep, and I'm proud of them. No displaying of them before the furrows of the age, and saying, these are my brethren. No, there are those who will be ashamed of. And they are the ones who are ashamed of him and of his words. And that's the temptation on the Christian church today, isn't it? Because there are very many words in this Bible, and they're not politically correct, they're not socially correct, they're not according to the moral standards of this world today, morally correct even. But it's our Lord's words, and we shall stand by them. Nor shall we ever, through his grace, ever be ashamed of them.